That's yours.
Yeah, sure.
Look it up there. You're younger.
There you go.
Just sit on your belt anyway, get a fire.
I
Well, as we find ourselves in the second week of the month, we are scheduled to have favorite hymn time. So give me some favorite hymns. Shout out a number. Brenda. 799? All right, we'll see what 799 is. Elaboré.
Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. John saw the number of all those redeemed, and all were singing praises to the Lord. Thousands were praying, 10,000s rejoicing, and all were singing praises to the Lord. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor. Alabare, alabare, alabare a mi Señor.
801, how great thou art, 801.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Mark. 686. 686.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove.
Have a blessed worship today. Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome all of you to Zion Lutheran Church, those joining us in person, those watching online. Thank you for being here today, praising and glorifying God in His house this morning. Many, many things going on as we find ourselves midway through Lent. First and foremost, let's talk about the anniversaries today. Today's flowers are given in celebration of 39 years by Tom and Debbie Herzon Parker. So thank you to the Parkers for the flowers on the sanctuary altar. And we also are joined by the Brandenburgs, Gene and Jean, their 70th wedding anniversary being celebrated. So we welcome you and your family and say congratulations to both of you for many, many years together. What a wonderful time that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, not only to be able to celebrate events like this, but then also to support one another. We think of Rick and Shirley Olson losing their oldest, Noel, this past week. So we not only have blessings, but we also have times of support. So your family is here to support both of you this morning. Let's see what else. No quilting this Tuesday. It would be a normal quilting time, but no quilting this coming Tuesday. Youth Easter breakfast. There'll be more information coming soon in the weekly newsletter. But in the meantime, if you take a look at the information center, there are the needs that we know that we're going to have. If you can help, please go ahead and sign up there. Easter Memorial Garden. I've got a prop. So this is the very last day to sign up for flowers to beautify our sanctuary for the Easter time frame, the final weekend to get those in so that we can get those ordered. Let's see what else. We have a movie night, another prop I have here, movie poster. So this afternoon at 3 o'clock, our outreach board is putting on Jesus Revolution. They're showing that in the fireside room at 3 this afternoon. Hopefully you'll be able to join. This is for absolutely everyone, those who are members, friends of Zion Lutheran Church, as well as those out in the community. So it's not too late to go ahead and show up. It's free, and I think we will have light snacks is what I saw for 3 o'clock this afternoon. And let's talk about eating some more, shall we? How about the fish fry this coming Friday? If you haven't got your tickets, they're selling them between services. Before the late service, I'm sure they'll be out there. March 15th, 4:30 to 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale right now. Get them now instead of at the door. You'll save a few dollars. And I think the last food-related item is I got the okay from my wife to announce that this Wednesday before the service, we're having a taco bar. Right? So we're going to come and we're going to join together down in the fellowship hall before the service, 5:30 to 6:15, followed by, of course, our midweek service at 6:30. Hopefully you'll be able to join us for that. It's a good time had by all. I believe that's all the announcements I have. Let's go ahead and stand and greet one another.
We make our beginning in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Our Lenten journey leads us to the cross where Jesus gave his life.
And then to the resurrection and eternal life.
Though Christ has loved us with a genuine love that gives us eternal life, we sometimes ignore his love and refuse to share Christ's love with others. Still, our Heavenly Father is merciful, and he invites us to draw near to him in hope and confidence to ask for his grace. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbors. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not loved our enemies. Forgive us, renew us, on account of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ was lifted up on the tree of the cross so that we might be forgiven. His genuine love is for the world and is for you. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We are forgiven by the genuine love of Jesus.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. We ask it through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated for our anthem.
Old Testament reading for this morning is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, and that can be found on page 129 of your Pew Bible. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, and he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, 1 through 10, and that can be found on page 976. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, and if you wish, you can follow along on page 888 of your Pew Bible. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
congregation may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, as a way to introduce today's topic, I want to play a quick word game. And yes, it's okay to play a game in the middle of the service. This game is called the phobia game. It's a made-up game, of course. Well, I'm going to put the name of a few phobias on the screen, and you're going to tell me what that phobia is about. I'm going to start off easy, and it's gradually going to get a little harder. All right? Let's go. The first one, arachnophobia, is the fear of
spiders.
We've seen that movie, of course. What about the next one? Acrophobia is the fear of? All right, fear of heights. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. Now this one is a little bit tricky. Ophidophobia is the fear of? No one, snakes. A lot of people have it. So if you've got that, now remember that name. All right, the very last one, I had never heard of this before, but paganophobia is the fear of, and I'll give you a little hint, beards, exactly. You wouldn't have got it without the hint, would you? Yeah, there's really a term for the fear of beards. But did you know there's also a term for the irrational fear of God? Now, I'm not talking about the fear and awe of God that we have because we know how great he is, but an irrational fear, and that fear is called theophobia. Yeah, even though God is good and God is just, sometimes we're afraid of him. And Jesus taught us that it's this irrational fear of God, theophobia, if we go through life with that, we're going to not be able to receive the eternal salvation and the healing in this life that he wants for us. Our fears about God will keep us hiding from God. We're going to stay in the darkness because we're afraid to be brought into the light. And as we will find, there's nothing, absolutely nothing to fear from God's light. So my friend, here's some good news. The good news is that Jesus rescues us from this irrational fear of God, theophobia. He goes into the darkness where we are lost, are hiding or hurting or going through life's challenges. He finds us and he leads us out into his kingdom of light, ultimately bringing us back to where he originally intended us to be. And that is in community with him, in communion with him. Paul in Colossians says it this way. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So today we're going to look a little bit closer at the story from our gospel, from John chapter 3. We hear about a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and he comes to Jesus at night, and they have a very enlightening, see what I did there? Enlightening conversation. Our gospel text comes from the very end of this meeting. Now, Nicodemus has come to Jesus at night, possibly in secret. Was he maybe afraid of being seen by others? Yeah, probably. But he definitely wanted to see Jesus in person. And we're not sure at this point if Nicodemus is coming to Jesus out of some sincere faith or if he was just simply curious and wanted to know a little bit more, maybe a little bit of both. Sometimes we know that Pharisees would come to Jesus and try to trap him or trick him, but that's not what Nicodemus is up to here. Either way, Jesus made himself approachable and welcoming to everyone who would come to him. Now, Nicodemus knew that Jesus was unique among the prophets. He was distinctive. He actually confesses to Jesus that very thing. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." To which Jesus replies, and here's the theme of our message today, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." But this word, again, is translated in the Greek as aneothen, which can be translated in a couple of different ways. It can mean born again, as in something that happens over and over. It can mean anew, meaning something new comes from it. Or it can mean coming from above, coming from on high. Well, Nicodemus obviously is thinking in terms of being born again a second time. And so he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So being born a Naothan, again, Jesus meant it in a different way. He meant being born anew, being transformed. It was a rebirth he's talking about, and we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So Jesus answered Nicodemus. He said, truly, truly, meaning what I'm about to say is really important here. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have water and you have Spirit, and combined, they're obviously a reference to holy baptism. The church has historically always connected those two concepts, and different churches have different understandings of it, but here in this passage, Jesus is referring to baptism when he talks about being born of water and the Spirit. Our life can be completely renewed in our baptism, which is why we call it a sacrament, a mystery. Our early communion students are learning about what a sacrament is, the three different pieces of a sacrament. A sacrament is something that's given to us by God, instituted by God. Secondly, where God connects his word of promise to some visible element, and in baptism, that visible element is water. In communion, the visible elements are the bread and the wine. And the third aspect of a sacrament is God offering us the forgiveness of sins. So a sacrament is nothing more than something instituted by God, where God's word of promise is connected to a visible element that we can see and interact with, and where he offers us the forgiveness of sins. And in baptism specifically, our focus locks in on the once crucified and now risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing that he dwells in us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that gift of the Holy Spirit, our life begins to look a little bit different, or at least it should, because our life begins to look more like the life of Jesus. We have been immersed, we have been baptized into Jesus, into the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's when this happens that we have then entered what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. And that happens now. It's happening today. It's after our death and we get to heaven that we get to be a part of this kingdom. No, this kingdom is part of our lives now. And some of us might be thinking, as Nicodemus thinking in our text, where he simply responds, well, how can this be? I don't understand, right? And it's the same with some of us today. It's clear that Nicodemus did not understand that being born again or being born anew, like you and I understand it today. Obviously, we have 2,000 years worth of church history and biblical studies to use to have our understanding kind of fleshed out, not to mention the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But Nicodemus asked such a good question. How can I be born anew? Like, not abstractly or theologically, but in reality, what does that look like? He goes on to kind of say, how can I experience this renewal in my life in real and practical ways? Isn't that a great question? Maybe it's a question you've asked yourselves before. It's a beautiful question. Well, Jesus responds, and he responds by pointing to himself and his coming crucifixion. And he refers back to our text from Numbers and says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. Now, we could spend all day long on this verse, but don't worry, we're not. We've got other things we need to get done today. But this verse is so packed with meaning, not only for the Old Testament Israelites that were going through this story, but also how it affects the life of the Israelites later on in Jesus' time, all the way through today. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, remember the story back in Moses in that Old Testament book of Numbers where we read from our lesson today? This is a story about Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness, through the desert. And the people start to complain. Yeah, it wasn't the first time and it won't be the last time they complain. But they were complaining about things like, we don't have good food and we can't find enough water. We're going to die in the wilderness. What have you done, Moses, bringing us out here into the desert? And they were somewhat legitimate complaints. I mean, we lose Wi-Fi for 10 minutes and we get crazy, right? So we can give them a little bit of grace for being lost out in the wilderness. Well, this was a time when God sent poisonous snakes and they were killing many of the Israelites. And to remedy this, in Numbers 21, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it up on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and he would live. So instead of doing what the Israelites asked, they asked to just remove the snakes. God said, no, I've got a different plan. He provided a different way for healing and life, that bronze snake on the pole. He said, if the people will look at the bronze snake, they would live. And that's why Jesus tells Nicodemus this story, because he knew that he soon would be lifted up as well, not only lifted up on the cross and crucifixion, but also lifted up out of death at his resurrection, and that everyone who would look on him and believe in him would live. So there's another important lesson from our number story today, and that lesson is that we shouldn't trust God for a specific outcome that we have in mind. We just need to trust God. Why would we put God in a box and only allow him to answer our prayers in our way, in our time, when we know that his way and his time and his plan are totally perfect? Why should we simply trust God instead of trusting him for a specific outcome? Why? Because God is always good. He promises that he will never do anything that will be negative for your best eternal interest. He is always good. He's not sometimes good and sometimes bad. And it's really kind of hard for us to get our minds around this, because we think God, well, yeah, God is mostly good, but there's still bad things going on in the world. There's death. There is destruction. There are diseases. There are punishments. There are snake bites, right? So he's got to be at least a little bit bad. Friends, God the Father has been revealed by his Son Jesus through us. And Jesus is the perfect image of the Father. Paul said it a couple of different ways in Colossians. He said of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Paul also said, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. What Jesus does, the Father does. What Jesus is about, the Father is about. They are one and the same. And the life of Jesus reveals to us that the core character and nature of God is love. And not just any kind of love. It's agape, self-giving, not self-serving love. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So God is love, and God is also consistent. He's not like us, that we can have good days and bad days. God is perfect. He is whole. He is unchanging, what we would call immutable. That means we can always trust his character. Even when challenges come, we can trust that there is good that can come out of it. And with God, things may not always play out the way that we have in mind. He may not answer our prayers in the way that we intend or in the timeline that we hope for. It's exactly what the Israelites experienced in the book of Numbers. They asked God to take away the snakes, but instead of taking them away, he provided a way for healing and salvation among them. So my friends, when we pray, we can ask for a specific outcome. We can do that all day long. But more than that, what we need to do is trust in God's goodness and love. And we can always understand and always know that we are moving closer and closer to be like Jesus in our life. We're loving everyone with all of our heart. And that he will accomplish nothing but good things in our life, motivated out of course, his self-giving agape love. We can trust that he's always working goodness in our lives in ways that we cannot see or maybe even comprehend. So Jesus, in his discussion with Nicodemus, tells us that this is the first step to experience a real renewal, a transformation in our life. The first step we need to take is to put our trust wholly in him. Jesus, with Nicodemus, is referring to himself and kind of comparing himself to that bronze snake lifted up in the book of Numbers, because Jesus knew that one day, very soon, he would also be lifted up, and those who looked on him in faith would believe and be saved. Anyone who looks to Christ on the cross, my friends, receives life. And later on in John chapter 12, Jesus said this, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." The Greek word here is helseko, which literally means Jesus says, "I'm going to drag or pull all people to myself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Yeah, God loved the world so much that he gave his Son to endure the cross. And this is even more mind-blowing, right? That God loves us when even we don't love him back. God loves this world, even when it seems like it is sometimes a God-hating world. Friends, he doesn't love only those who love him back. God loves absolutely everyone. Jesus came and died for absolutely everyone. And Jesus didn't come and die because God saw us as an enemy and he had to heal that broken relationship. No, God never has seen us as an enemy. Actually, it's exactly the opposite. Jesus came and died because we saw him as our enemy. Think about way back in the book of Genesis. What did Adam and Eve do to sin? They decided to go against God. They decided, "God, you don't know the best. We know the best." So they made themselves enemies of God. God has never hated humanity. God has never hated creation because God's core nature is love. And everything that he does flows out of that. I don't have to tell you this, but our nature isn't quite that good. Our nature is full of good as well as bad. Paul actually tells us in Colossians chapter 1 who we once were versus who we are now. He said this, "This includes you who were once far away from God." See that deep chasm? You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. But continue. "Yet he now has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." It's only because of the Father's love and the Son's sacrifice that we can be born anew, a neothen, seeing our Father with brand new eyes, looking at him with a brand new heart for who he truly is, and that is love. Yeah, God loves this sometimes God-hating world. Jesus died for this God-hating world. Jesus was lifted up just like that fiery serpent, and he will drag all people to himself. And a huge way that we partner in ministry with Jesus in this is that we need to also love everyone, because everyone that we meet is someone to be loved, is someone to be served, someone to be blessed and to be prayed for, because one day they too may be dragged to Jesus, and then we will join them all as brothers and sisters. Now, I do need to clarify here a bit, because there's a lot of criticism out in the world that we Christians just aren't loving when we speak out against sin, that we're sometimes hypocrites if we aren't tolerant of or accepting of the sin choices made by others. But we have to be crystal clear. God did give us his law so that we, all humans, can get along with one another. We say that God's law acts as three different things. It acts as a curb, kind of keeps us on the right track. It acts as a mirror, reflecting our hearts and our attitudes and our actions so that we can see the error of our ways. And it acts as a rule or guide to help us live under God's purpose. My friends, God's law affects you and I in the same way that it affects every other person on the planet. Why? Because we're all the same. We're all sinners. We all have that sin problem. We all fall short of the glory of God. And no matter what kind of sin we're talking about, every sin condemns. There are no little sins or big sins. As far as God is concerned, every sin condemns. But my friends, God never gave us jobs as his legal counsel. We are not to be the judge of sin. Only he is. When Jesus instituted the church, he made it so clear that we have to speak his truth, and that includes the law as well as the life-giving, beautiful gospel, so that Jesus could fulfill all the law's requirements. So my friends, when you hear Christians being called unloving or intolerant or hateful, that's simply the devil working out in the world to turn it against God. We mustn't take that as a personal attack against us. The church was given the task of preaching his word, and that means we preach all of it, even the parts that we don't fully understand without faith in the gift of the Holy Spirit, even the parts that aren't politically correct, even the parts that not everyone will agree on, but we preach the entire word, and we teach his entire word. We've been given the task to share it with the world, to share the world's need for a Savior, the world's need for an eternal saving truth, because there is one truth. And obviously, we need to share that the gospel message, that God can turn us away from our sinful desires to bring us out of darkness and into his light and make us new again. And friends, once we are born anew, we get to receive a new heart. God rewires our internal hardware so that we begin to be more like him. Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet, talked about it this way. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Sounds a lot like what we heard earlier today. This Old Testament prophecy about God's upcoming new covenant inaugurated in Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. Isn't that amazing? Sounds like Jesus talking about being born anew, having a new heart put in us, a new heart full of God's self-giving love instead of our own sort of love. My friends, wouldn't it be amazing if all of God's people, Christians throughout the world, throughout our blessed country, throughout the metro area, throughout the family of Zion Lutheran Church, wouldn't it be amazing if we could all take part of the church's commission to take those opportunities that God places in our path to reach out in love to other folks, to get to know people just like Jesus did, to hear their stories just like Jesus did, and to love on them just as Jesus did. And maybe you don't feel equipped to do some of those things. Well, if you don't, then do something about it. The Bible study that Pastor Neil is leading right now on Christian apologetics, it's a great place to go and get equipped on how do I share my faith? What if people ask me hard questions? How do I go forward in this life? And what does my faith truly mean to me? There's Bible study fellowship groups meeting all over the metro at different times. Join one of those. Get engaged in a ministry team here at Zion or a social ministry like Meals on Wheels or serving at ICA or Step in St. Louis Park or Resource West in Minnetonka. Because Jesus doesn't come to offer us some out-of-reach salvation that's activated only when we die and go to heaven. No, we have that available to us today. Jesus comes to save us today in this life, to heal us, to restore us, and make us new now. How could the church that Jesus instituted do its intended work if those blessings weren't available to each and every person today, right now, in our need, through our challenges? Because, my friends, that's the kind of salvation we need, right? That's the kind of salvation this world needs. It needs to be healed. It needs to be restored. It needs to be made whole again, to be born anew. And this is why Jesus came, my friends, to do exactly that. My friends, I pray that this message would be a blessing to those who are hearing it, that you would be able to find something in your life to be able to be more passionate about what God has given to you, the gifts, skills, abilities, talents, the joys and blessings, throughout all of them, to be able to live with this new and transformed heart. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue with our sermon response hymn.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. Great reminder of both the conviction of our sin and our guilt that we have, and that we separate ourselves from God, but also of his great love for us. John 3:16, I was waiting for you to say, let's say that together. Because you were doing it in your own mind, weren't you? How we live and respond is part of what it means to be a Christian. This morning, I'm wearing for the first time this stole. And if you haven't looked in the bulletin, it talks a little bit about it. There's no other one like this in the world. This was just made 1980, so 44 years ago, where I was serving in peace in Antigo. We sponsored the congregation of a Hmong refugee family from Cambodia and Thailand. And then 43 years later, in other words, last year, one of the little ones that we brought over here contacted me, sought me, tracked me down, and said, I've got something for you. And what they did was make this. This is a one-of-a-kind custom made by and designed by the Hmong people now living here, many of them in St. Paul. And they wanted to say thank you for the kindness that we shared 44 years ago. So you never know the impact you have, which is what was being said. So what is it that you're doing? I hope you're doing, it might be selling fish tickets, you know, or working upstairs or whatever kind of ministry that Pastor Dan was talking about. Because we make impacts on people, whether we want to or not. Hopefully ours as Christians is a positive witness for them. That's our offering to him. Please stand and join me as we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, made, made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, when was incarnated by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. Third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Great and glorious God, Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be able to call you Abba, Daddy, Father, our giver and provider of all that's good and right in our lives and that of the world. We thank you. And help us, Lord, to be grateful, have thankful hearts and minds, and to respond with what we are and what we have and what we do. We pray that you watch over ourselves as individuals, that we remain faithful to you, that the Satan and his cohorts and those that are trying to separate us from you don't succeed, but that we remain faithful. So thank you for these opportunities to worship weekly, to study the Bible, to read on our own, to hear and read on the medias of different ways that you work with us, through us, and for us. Bless our congregation and all the ministries that we do. Be with our loved ones, those people that are special and dear to us. Many thanksgivings. We think of the 39th wedding anniversary of Tom and Debbie Herzon Parker and the 70th wedding anniversary of Jean and Jean Brandenburg. These are very special people. We know them for many years and pray that you would continue to bless them as you see fit over the years to come, as they have influenced people, so we indeed may be an encouragement to them. And for those folks that are dealing with health concerns in one fashion or another, for Gordy Larson, Joe Grace, Rick Tupa, Ruth Ann Scholl, Bill and Ann Desher, Jane Battles, Prasad Kusuma, Carla Chelsea, Daryl Bell, Mary Bandela, Rod Shank, Adam Koss, Todd Bartley, Diana Smith, Judy Grace, Whitney Hansen, Bill Winter, Bodie
Bobby Tonkin, Ethan Adam, Sylvia Herzon, Michael Fox, Steve Mallett, Shirley Terrell, Scott Post, Donna Schwartz, Barbara Carlson. As we love these folks, we know you do as well. We pray that you would keep them in your loving care this day and always. And we think this day of those that have been called home through death's door. Specifically, we think of the Olson family, for the family of Noelle Olson, daughter of Rick and Shirley. Erica and Alex are siblings. We pray that you would comfort this family, that you would provide that peace that they seek with the knowledge that with faith in Christ there is life eternal. Be with this family as they prepare for the service of Noelle, which will be this coming Saturday on the 16th at 11 o'clock here at Zion. Be with these families as they experience the heartache of losing loved ones. And for those five families that we highlight this week, for Pete, Amy, Andy, and Matt Chase here this morning, Marla Syriax, Patrice Syriax, Jenny Daniels, and Edie Eichhorn, Richard and Mary Daniels. And then for the two Early Childhood Center families, for the Motzes, Ashley, Steve, and Reagan, and for the Morks, Patrick, Courtney, and Lennox. A lot of folks, Lord, that we know and that you know. We pray that you would be with them and bless them in wonderful ways. These many things we ask in Jesus' name, the same Jesus who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And before we conclude, we have one special section of our worship that we're going to have this morning. Gene and Jean Brandenburg don't know it, but we've got a special gift for you from your family, a gift from God's family, the extended family, and that is a special anthem that's going to be sung wherever they went. There we go, back here. And
blessed assurance, Jesus is thine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit. Song, praising their Savior. the day long, praising their Savior all the day long.
Wow. Got some time. What are you crying about, Gene? 70 years. Who's next on 70 years? Anybody else? 39. Do I hear 40? Do I hear 40? Thank you so much. What a blessing it is that God gives us as his people. Isn't it fun to be able to come here? And I see the smiles among you that God allows us to celebrate with other people and their joys as well as the sorrows. I mean, talk about a contrast. The Olsons are here crying, loss of their daughter as well as expected, and then the joys of life that God gives to us. So thank you all for your support, your encouragement, and the blessings that God has for you and allowing you to be a blessing to others. With that, we're ready to conclude our service with a benediction and closing hymn. Please stand as we conclude. Indeed, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.